Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3 this morning. Let's pray and we'll get right into the Word of God this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your Word, for your truth. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross. Lord, we know many hearts are heavy in here this morning. Lord, we don't know details from everybody, but Lord, you do. And I'm thankful, God, we don't always have to know the details for you to know them. Thankful you know them, Lord, before we ever even know they occurred. And Lord, this morning I'm asking you, Lord, to be a blessing to the families, Lord, who are struggling right now and hurting. Lord, you just comfort them in their time. And let them, Lord, be closer to you now than ever before. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, bind the devil off this preaching today, off the hearts and minds of each and every one of your people. Let them hear from heaven. Lord, get rid of all the distractions and hindrances that might be going on outside of here. And Lord, things we got to go back to when we get home. But right now, Lord, if you'll just, Lord, allow us to, just for a few moments to hear from heaven this morning. And Lord, please, Holy Spirit, convict this morning. If there's a lost man or woman in here this morning, boy or girl, Lord, today is the day of their salvation, Lord. If you convict them, and I pray, God, you'll do your job. And Lord, allow me to do mine. And Lord, your people to do theirs by just listening and being obedient this morning. Lord, we sure do love you. And Lord, cleanse me of sin. Lord, empty me of self. Fill me with your Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. When you're there, say amen. Amen. We'll start in verse number 1. The Bible says, wherefore, we could no longer forbear. We thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, and notice this next phrase here, and to comfort you concerning your, what, church? Faith. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that ye were appointed thereunto, that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And you know, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you, therefore, brethren, we were all comforted, there's that word again, over you in all our affliction and distress by your, what, church? For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. Over the past few Sundays and over the next few weeks, maybe months, I don't know, the Lord has been convicting me on faith and my faith in Him. I know where my faith stands, but look, we could all stand to have and live by faith. Amen. A lot of us live by sight. Let's just be real. If we can't see it, we don't believe it. But here's the reality. How could you be saved if you've never seen God? The Bible says salvation is by grace through what? Faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You know, I'm so thankful that even though I cannot see God, I can hope because I have faith in what the Word of God says. I'm so thankful that, you know, we talked about money this morning and giving. I'm thankful that when we give our tithes and our offerings and we give to missions, we don't necessarily directly see where the money's going, what hand it's being put in, but hey, we can see results of that. Evidence. Amen? You can see souls being saved and lives being changed. You want to see some evidence? Just take a look right over there off the other side of that fellowship hall and see what's happening. That's evidence of your faith, of you giving and asking people and telling people and being excited about what God has done for you and through this local New Testament church. And how many are thankful you're allowed to be a part of that? You know, God has blessed each and every one of us with something that we do not deserve. You know, we didn't deserve anybody. We didn't deserve any game. But God, you know what He does? He blesses faithfulness. And it's very important to understand that God always works through faith. The Bible says, the just shall live by what? Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So this morning, you know, we preached on faith a lot, but here's the thing. How many would like to know that you can have comfort concerning your faith? You know, the Bible gives us this phrase. I was reading this. Go back to verse number 2, and this phrase just kind of jumped off the book at me. And you know, a lot of times we have faith, but we still, even though we have faith, we still worry a little bit, don't we? We question, and you know, like, Lord, I see you working, I see you doing this, I see you doing that, but you've asked me to step out and go above and beyond what I think I'm able to do, and you've given me the ability to do it, and by faith I'm going to do it, but you still want some answers. Well, how can we have comfort concerning our faith? The Bible says in verse 2, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your, what, church? Faith. So I want to try to answer that question this morning. The best of my ability, the best ability the Lord has given me, I want to try to help you there this morning. So how to have comfort while still having faith? You must not, number one, you must not be moved in your afflictions. You say, Brother Drew, what are you talking about? Well, the Bible says in verse number 3, that no man should be moved by these what? What is an affliction? It's a condition of pain, suffering, or distress. Let me let you in on something. Whether you're a man, woman, boy, or girl, you're going to experience pain. Being saved and knowing that you're going to heaven and you have eternal life does not mean that everything is going to be peachy all the time. Amen? We're going to have pain, we're going to have heartache, we're going to have distress, we're going to have worry, we're going to have fear. But look, you can't let those circumstances in life make your faith waver. Every single time something happens, we tend to just say, okay, God, and you know, here's what will happen. The devil will say, look, you trusted God, and if he really loved you, would this really be happening? How many know that thought never came from God? That question never came from God. That thought came from the devil. And right then and there, you must bind the devil. Tonight, we're going to talk about binding and loosening in the name of Jesus. It's a subject that many preachers will overlook because they really don't realize the power that they actually have in the name of Jesus Christ. Right then and there, when the devil sends you that thought, if Jesus loved you, you take him to the scripture where it says, hey, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends, and say, devil, when's the last time you laid down your life for anybody? The Jesus Christ that I have my faith in died for me. He raised himself up from the grave, and hey, he left the grave clothes folded neatly in a sign for us to tell us that he's coming again someday, and he's coming again soon. It may be morning, it may be night, it may be noon, but listen, the next time the devil tries to bring up that stuff, you just say, devil, who have you ever died for? Where I'm putting my faith in is Jesus Christ. He died for me. We cannot let our afflictions move us. We can't every single time something goes wrong. You know what? Say, and here's how it happens. Little things go first. Your prayer life starts to falter away. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Things get rough, and we start getting worried, and we fear, and pretty soon we're not praying like we ought to, and the Bible's sitting in the front seat of the truck where you left it when you left church last Sunday. You haven't opened it up till you get back to church this Sunday, Lord willing. Pretty quick you'll be showing up, and it'll still be sitting in the truck waiting on you when you get back. And here's what'll happen next. You'll start missing Sunday school. You'll start missing Sunday morning. You'll start missing Sunday night. Wednesday night won't be important anymore. The things of God will become numb to you. Because why? Because you have let your afflictions waver your faith. Listen, God's goodness does not depend on your circumstance. God is always good. He's always rich in mercy. And you better watch out when you start seeing these little things in life. And pretty soon what will happen after that? Listen, everything flows downhill, don't it? It just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse when we don't do it God's way. We quickly want to realize why our home's messed up, why our kids are wavering, why our son won't listen to us, why our daughter don't care about us, why our kids are just going crazy, why my marriage is falling apart, why my finances aren't right, why work is a mess, why everything's a mess. Well, it's because every single time something little happens in your life, we want to blame God. You know what I'm talking about? We just want to blame God. You ever read that story about the Israelites who took 40 years to make a 40-day journey? You know what happened? They blamed God for a lot of things. We were better off in Egypt as slaves than to be out here in the wilderness to die. Isn't that how some of us sound? We love it on the mountain when things are going great and the sun is shining. But oh, one little thing happens and there goes our faith. Afflictions, can I say this? They can drain us emotionally. They can drain us physically. They can drain us mentally. And unfortunately, they will drain you spiritually. Physically, we get sick over our afflictions. You ever heard of someone worrying themselves pure sick? I mean, won't get out of bed, won't eat, won't drink, cut off all communication with everybody just because something happened and they just can't get it off their mind. They can worry you sick. Stress and worry will wear a person out. Stress and worry will shorten your life. You know that? Stress and worry are not of God. Afflictions can not only hurt us physically, but emotionally. We get upset and we start acting out around family and friends, saying and doing things that normally we would never do. I wonder how many of us have ever done that. Because of an affliction, we start in our mind. You know, the devil always attacks what first? The mind, right? And then our emotions just get tampered with and played with, and all of a sudden we're lashing out at people that we love. Anybody ever done that before? Because why? Because your emotions are a wreck. Because your faith has wavered. Hey, it's not your wife's fault that your faith has wavered, gentlemen. And likewise, ladies, it's not your husband's fault that your faith has wavered. It's not your children's fault, mom and dad, that you're having a bad day, that God had allowed a circumstance to be in your life to test your faith and you failed the test. Listen, it's not their fault. Y'all all right? It'll mess with you emotionally. It'll mess with you mentally. Our afflictions leave some of us with the thought of this: is life even worth living anymore? Wonder how many of you in here have ever had that thought. I'll not ask you to raise your hand, but in a room of this size, no doubt, if we were to be honest, at least one point of time in your life, maybe most of us have questioned, is living even worth it? It'd just be easier if I were dead. I wouldn't have to worry about this anymore. Look, God did not allow afflictions to come into your life for you to get beat down. He allows those things to happen for you to get closer to Him. You know, Peter and Paul constantly were saying, I joy in my afflictions. They would never give up the beatings and the stonings that they had and the bruising. Because why? Because it was all for the cause of Christ. All for the furtherance of the gospel. Your afflictions will mess with you spiritually. Spiritually, in our afflictions, we must understand this. There's a war going on. Go with me to the book of Galatians this morning. The book of Galatians, chapter number 5. Listen, anytime you do something good for the Lord, the devil's always going to try to throw a dart at you. Always. He can't stand it when you're serving God. He can't stand it when your wife is serving God. He can't stand it when you together get up and come to church and bring your babies to church and let them learn about Jesus. He can't stand it. He's always going to try to throw a knife in something like that. Why? Because you're doing good and you're trying to do right and you're trying to obey God, and the devil hates God, and the devil hates you, and he hates your wife, and he hates your son, and he hates your daughter, he hates your mama, he hates your daddy, he hates your grandma, your grandpa, your aunt, your uncle. He hates every single one of you. He has three jobs: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is his job. That doesn't sound like somebody I'd be wanting to be hanging out with. How about you this morning? Who are you hanging with? Galatians chapter 5, we've got to realize, in our afflictions, there is a war going on. Galatians 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, for the flesh lusteth against the what, church? And the spirit against the flesh. And these
are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But, here it is, if ye be led of the what? Ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Here's how you can tell. Hey, am I living in the flesh or am I living in the spirit? Now there are a lot more that you could add to this list, no doubt. But here are some things that you could tell. Hey, the works of the flesh are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And please don't take your King James Bible out of context like most do right here and say, see, I told you you could lose your salvation. That's not what the Bible said. It said inherit the kingdom of God. It never said nothing about heaven. Inheritance is something that you lay up for yourselves right now, just like your inheritance that your parents may have left you or that you're laying up for somebody else. Listen, all you can do is lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. If you do these things, don't let someone tell you, hey, you're an adulterer, you're a fornicator, you're a liar, you're a thief, you can't go to heaven. That's simply not true. For that to be true means that Jesus Christ died in vain and his death was not good enough to cover your sin. Y'all all right? I hate when people preach heresy. I hate when people tell people lies. This week, I was reading something and somebody made a statement about eternal security and it just blew up and it became a huge argument on Facebook. Yes, you can lose this. No, you can't. Yes, you can. No, you can't. And it was just an argument that was endless. And by the way, listen to me. Let God be true and every man a what? A liar. Nowhere in your King James Bible does it say that you can lose what you did nothing to gain, but believe and have faith. Nowhere. All over the Bible, it teaches eternal security. It teaches that no man can pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. These things have I written unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Hey, I believe that Jesus Christ died once. He was buried once, and he rose once, and I only needed to be saved once, and I'm saved forever. Amen? Hey, listen, don't believe the lies. You know why those Christians are miserable? Because they're basing their salvation off of themselves. But look at verse 22. We saw the fruit of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also what, church? Walk in the Spirit. Nowhere does that say, if we live in the Spirit, let us therefore walk in the Spirit according to our circumstances in life. Listen, every circumstance you go through in life, it's an opportunity for you to show someone how good God has been to you. And if you fail the test every single time something bad happens, listen, bad things are always going to happen. You're going to continue to be a failure. Learn to stand strong in your faith, in your afflictions, and you'll learn that you can have some comfort in your faith. We must not give in to the flesh when afflictions come if we want to have comfort in our faith. Number two, back in the book of 1 Thessalonians, if you don't mind, chapter number 3. The baby's having some afflictions down there, but she's all right. Verse number 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Can I tell you this? You must understand, we kind of covered it already, that afflictions are coming. A preacher said it once like this, you're living in one of three areas in life right now. You're either headed into a storm, you're right smack dab in the middle of a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. And here's the deal. We go into a storm, we don't like that, do we? We most certainly don't like being in the storm, But man, when the relief starts filtering in and we're headed out of the storm and we feel like, oh, that's so good. But you know what happens? Another storm rolls in right behind that one. You know what I'm talking about? And another one, and another one, and another one. But here's the reality. God never changes. God never changes. Imagine the storms that Jesus went through in his flesh. It was storm after storm after storm of being embarrassed and beaten and bruised and spit on and lashed open. You know how many storms, how many ever went through a storm like that? Not a single one of you. Not me. Now, I'm not saying your storm isn't important. What I'm trying to help you with is this. Storms are going to continue to come until Jesus comes back. Amen? And your faith, you cannot afford to have it waver. You cannot avoid them. We must stop living in a fantasy land where nothing ever goes wrong. This ain't Disney World, people. Thank God. Y'all all right? I'm sorry. I hope I didn't offend nobody there. We must not waver in our faith. God is still good. Look at the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. I'll just read it for sake of time. The Bible says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. God's faithfulness, thank God, does not depend on our faithfulness. Aren't you thankful? What if God's faithfulness toward us wavered every single time our faith wavered towards him? We'd be in a hot mess, wouldn't we? You know, every time we come back to him, finally, when we lay ourselves down and we realize nothing I've done for the past week, month, year, however long it's been, has worked, and you finally stop being ignorant and doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different outcome, look, that's ignorant. That's plumb crazy. And then you realize, okay, God, I can just see God sitting there like this. It's about time you realized who's really in control of this thing. And you say, God, look, I'm giving up. I'm turning this over to you. But aren't you glad he didn't say, well, you remember whenever your faith wavered? Now my faith's going to waver. I'm going to let you continue in what you're doing. Aren't you glad we don't serve a God like that? Man, I'm so thankful we serve a good God who just expects some humility out of his people. Verse number 5 and 6. The Bible says, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, look at this, church, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, what a good report, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Number 3, can I say this? I can have comfort in my faith by knowing those who have invested time and prayer into me are cheering me on. You ever think about that? Here's Timothy and Paul writing this book and saying, look, it was good to come and get a good report of you guys. We've been praying for you. We've been asking God to bless you. We've been desiring that you'll continue in the things that you've been taught and the things that you've learned, and that from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures and you continue in those things. Listen, every single one of us in here have someone, man, woman, boy, or girl, that has invested time spiritually into you, especially if you're saved. Someone, most of us sat down and had Sunday school teachers that we drove crazy. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Drove them plumb crazy. They were like, man, is this kid going to come back to Sunday school next week? I need a break. Y'all know what I'm talking about. He laughed. Look, some of you have had preachers and preachers' wives and youth pastors' wives and moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas that took you to church. They invested time in you. They prayed for you. They desired that God would use you greatly. And listen, that right there is enough for you to say, you know what? Those who've invested time and prayer into me before, I don't want to fail those individuals. They could have gave up on us, couldn't they? But you know, what a sad story when it ends in something tragic happened in a man or woman's life, and they just look at God and say, you know what, I'm done. I'm throwing in the towel. I can't believe, God, that you would
allow that to happen to my mom. I can't believe that you would allow my dad to be like that. That's a real good reason to throw in the towel. Don't believe that lie. Folks, that's time right then to dig deep. Dig deeper. You remember the story of Jacob's well back in Genesis 29, I think it is. Anybody remember how many feet they had to dig through rock to find water? 100 feet. I'm not talking about dirt. I'm talking about rock. And you remember 2,000 years later, there's Jesus standing at Jacob's well watching a woman draw water out of that well that was dug 2,000 years ago. Hard work and dedication paid off. Today, you could go to that well, and you know what you can get out of there, Brother Ian? Water. Because years ago, workers decided it was worth it. And today, people are still reaping benefits from people that put in work thousands of years ago. Folks, the Christian life is no different. When you're dead and gone, your children and your grandchildren, when they're preaching and teaching Sunday school and bringing their kids and their grandkids to church, and your family's getting saved generation after generation after generation, and then the Lord comes back and you'll all get to meet again. Hey, it'll be worth it. Y'all all right? It'll be worth it. It will be worth it. Do not let the devil convince you to be a quitter. Quitters never win anything. Amen. And winners never quit. Don't be a quitter. I can be encouraged to press on so that their labor was not in vain. I think of my grandpa often. And that poor guy put up with a lot. A whole lot. Some of you knew him, some of you didn't. But look, I was an ornery little fella. Y'all probably don't believe that. But I was. I got a lot of spankings growing up. I met Jesus a lot. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They laughing. But listen, you know what I came to realize over time is that every time I turned around, there he was. He was with me at church. He was with me, took me to school, sit at baseball practice hours on end, go to every game, travel home or away. He didn't care. He was there because he was investing time in me. He made sure I went to Sunday school. He made sure I was at every VBS. The door was open. And look, I was a drug baby. I was drugged to church every time the door was open. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And today, I would love to see his face. One day I will. And I don't want to go up there and look at him and say, you know what? I'm sorry, I quit. You know what I'm saying? I want to shake his hand one day and say, thank you. Because of people like you, my kids will be here soon. Maybe my grandkids will be here someday. My great-grandkids. A community of lost people that will come to know Christ and join our church and yoke up. We'll get to meet in heaven. Y'all see what I'm saying? Folks, this thing is for real. It's not in vain. That's a good way to have comfort in your faith. And lastly, in verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, but now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction. You notice, he said they were comforted over them in their affliction. Why? And distress by your what? Faith. Lastly, this morning, you having comfort and standing strong in your faith gives others hope and the ability to stand strong in their afflictions. You want to watch a bad chain reaction? Stumble every single time you have an affliction. And watch what happens to those who are watching you. We have this misconception going all around the world that nobody really cares what we do. That is a lie out of hell. There are so many people watching you and watching your every move. I'd hate to know, Brother Travis, that I was a quitter. And because Daddy was a quitter, now they're going to be quitters. You know what I'm talking about, men? Hey, maybe families, loved ones, lost people
church members can see you in an affliction and see you pray your way all the way through that thing and your faith never waver. And maybe they'll see, hey, do you remember what brother so-and-so did in his affliction? He came out of that thing stronger spiritually than he went in. Hey, that's how you should want to go and come out of your trials. And that's the God we serve that can get us there. But folks, it does matter. This morning, Miss Barb's going to come. She's going to play a hymn of invitation. This morning, listen, I understand that there are afflictions all around us. But can I say this morning? We don't need any more quitters in this world. We got plenty of them. Plenty of them. What we need, as the piano starts to play this morning and heads bowed and eyes closed, what we need this morning, church, is individuals, men, women, boys, and girls, whose faith will not waver.